welcome to First and Now, episode 35. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and always thrilled to be talking BC Lions football with you as we continue to navigate our way through what has been a crazy 2020. There are sports to watch. I know a lot of you, like myself, probably enjoyed kicking back and watching week one in the National Football League as we get some sort of normalcy back in our sporting calendar. Well, it is different right now with the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. Major League Baseball going to be starting its postseason here in a couple of weeks after a 60-game sprint to October baseball. Definitely different times as a result of the pandemic, but the good news is we're hoping and optimistic that CFL football will be back on time in 2021. We start off by reminding you that First and Now is a presentation of IA Financial Group. IA Financial Group has over 125 years of experience helping Canadians. Proudly Canadian, IA Financial Group has over 7,000 employees and more than 4 million clients serving Canadians with a foundation of trust from coast to coast. IA Financial, invested in you. Contact your financial advisor for more information. Episode 35 rolls along, and it's a good one. Now, we're going to speak with Giroy Simon, the GOAT of CFL receivers, the all-time leader in receiving yards, a three-time Grey Cup champion, twice with the Lions, and one, of course, in Saskatchewan before he called it a career following the 2013 season. And now still a scout with the BC Lions, plays a big part in helping Ed Hervey, Torrey Hunter, and Neil McAvoy as far as football operations. Giroy's main gig now, scouting the international players, finding those hidden gems from Europe, Mexico. I believe this year's global draft, before it got canceled, even had a player from Japan. So CFL 2.0 is a big part of the league going forward. And we'll talk to Giroy a bit about the process for evaluating this talent from overseas and in Mexico. The Lions, of course, last year had the two Mexican receivers, Fernando Ricciardi and Gerardo Alvarez, on the roster, as well as French receiver Benjamin Plou. So going to be more globals on the roster. At least that was the plan had 2020 gotten off under normal circumstances. But we'll talk to Giroy a bit about the football life, what he'd normally be doing right now, getting ready, scouting with the draft, the globals. Still has a hand in the Canadian players as well. And get his thoughts on Chase Claypool. Speaking of Canadians, the Abbotsford kid making a bit of a presence in his NFL debut with the Steelers at the Giants on Monday Night Football, week one in the NFL. Yes, we've been talking about it. College football, if you like the NCAA. So there is football to watch, and we're just excited to get on with a normal CFL season next year. Touch wood there. Also get Giroy's Grey Cup memories. As mentioned, we've been talking a lot about the Grey Cup fan base, a great opportunity for you, the fan, for $399 plus tax. You can get your name etched on a very cool base that the trophy itself will sit on the next time it gets handed out. Grey Cup next year slated to be in Hamilton, Tim Hortons Field. So get Giroy's thoughts on the base and talk Grey Cup memories. Love talking about the Grey Cup history, BC Lions history. So we'll be doing that a lot more with Giroy here. Coming up in just a moment, you can follow me on Twitter at BakesTakes84. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, make sure you leave us a review as well. And Giroy has entered the chat now. That's become quite a saying here in 2020. So-and-so has entered the Zoom chat. What a world we're in. G, what's up?
Nothing much. How's it going?
Just plugging away one day at a time here at the home office. Hard to believe it's been, what, 6 months? Way back at the start of this, we were doing those truly virtual dens, of course, and here we are. How you holding up? I mean, our first chance to talk to you since the season was officially canceled. As a CFL guy, how these past few weeks been with you?
It's been okay. Challenging at times. You know, you know, for me, I'm a hard worker, and I like my work. So not being able to get on the road and actually do any work has been challenging at times, but you know, I try to look at the positives of everything, and the one major positive is that I've been able to hang out with the family more than ever, and it's been great for the family to spend tons of time together.
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, the flip side of that coin is I've had the chance to see our daughter grow and get funnier and funnier each day. And yeah, I mean, this is a situation that hopefully we won't be in again beyond 2021, 2022, whatever your time frame you're looking at. So you're right. There's definitely a glass half full approach to be taken. But expanding on that, you're a football guy through and through. You live the scouting life now. You talk about going on the road, and now you'd probably be starting to get a head start on, you know, next year's combines or what have you. You know, that obviously is going to be put on hold here. I mean, how do you adjust living like that?
I mean, the thing is, you know, I'm as a scout, even though our season's canceled, I continue to try to find creative ways to do some work. I'm in constant contact with all my contacts in the U.S. Any game that's on, I'm pretty much watching it, just kind of jotting down, you know, names of guys who flash and show that they might have potential to play at the next level. And just, you know, you have to do with, you know, the best you can with what you got. And that's what we have right now. The opportunity to just watch on TV and make the calls from home and you know, email correspondence and things like that. So, you know, we're still staying busy, still trying to get as much football in as possible, but it's just a little challenging now these days.
A main part of your duties now are tracking the global talent, the international talent. We had a taste of that in 2019 with Richarde, Alvarez, Benjamin Plou out of France. Talk about that development. I mean, the more people you talk to in the CFL say that the international pool of players as part of CFL 2.0 is just going to keep getting better each year in and out. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, I think the pool of players is actually really good. If we would have had a draft, the global draft this year, I think you would have seen the level of play increase exponentially. The guys that were in the draft were you know, top-notch starters in Division I, NCAA, as well as some of the guys that played over in Europe in those leagues. Now, they're a little bit older than the normal guys coming out in the draft, but their skill development has definitely increased from 2019 to 2020. So those guys that are in the draft, you know, in the 2020 draft and moving on to 2021, the skill level is very high, and a lot of these guys played at a very high level in the U.S.
Yeah, and that's just one of many things that we look forward to getting back out there in 21 will be the global draft and seeing the development a lot of those players that have played football overseas. Truly an exciting thing, CFL 2.0. Now, you mentioned watching football. A lot of us were happy to see some college and, of course, week one in the NFL last week. I know you were happy to see your Pittsburgh Steelers pull one out there on Monday night. Now, double whammy, Chase Claypool, Abbotsford. He made his presence felt. Pretty nice catch, and he got both feet down there in the first quarter. How excited were you to see Chase do his thing there?
I was really excited. I've known Chase for quite a long time, from the time he was like eight or nine, grade eight or nine. And you just watch the development of the kid. You know, when I first met him, he wasn't, you know, 6'4" and running 4.3. He was a young developing player. And then, you know, you watch him when he was at Abbotsford, when he was in high school in Abbotsford, and you see that, you know, he played well, and then playing again at Notre Dame, and now seeing him in the pros is really exciting. It shows that that there's talent everywhere. And again, you know, the talent level in Canadians is very high. And if given the opportunity, those guys can go quite a long ways. So I was really excited. Obviously, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, you know, from the time I started watching football, and now to see a kid that I talked to and mentored a little bit when he was a youngster, to see him playing at a high level now is really exciting.
What other observations did you take from the start of the NFL season? How weird was it to see Tom Brady finally in another uniform? I mean, for as much of the content we see 24/7 free agency, once you see him out there in action, in pads, it really hits home, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, to see Tom Brady in Tampa and Cam Newton in New England and Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis was really weird. But, you know, that's just the nature of football. I mean, for as much as you know, those guys have been on their, you know, teams in the past and played very well, it's almost inevitable. If they want to keep playing, they almost have to move on. And you know, obviously, I'm an example of that. So it's a weird thing. It's going to take a couple of weeks to get used to, but that's just the nature of football.
And nature of football and sports in general, right? I mean, hockey, baseball, basketball, it's rare to see one franchise guys all the way through anymore. That's the business of it. Now, while we're on this topic of your love for the Steelers and your upbringing in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, another cool honor for you was happy to read about. You're going into your high school's Ring of Honor. Is that correct? Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's something that, you know, they're just starting this year is the Ring of Honor in Johnstown. I think the level of players that come out of Johnstown is very high. And for us to, you know, to not have had a Ring of Honor over the, you know, the last, you know, 50, 60 years, it's something that needed to be changed. And when Coach Bruce Jordan, he's a high school friend of mine, he's now the head coach. When he sent me a message saying that that they were going to start a Ring of Honor and I was going to be inducted, I was really honored. A lot of my heroes growing up, you know, you have NFL heroes, you have college football heroes, but the people that I really looked up to and the people that I really wanted to be like were, you know, guys from my hometown, Carlton Hasselrig, who unfortunately just passed away, but he was a six-time NCAA wrestling champion in Division I and Division II. You know, Chucky Wyatt, who is an all-time great, Artrell Hawkins, senior, who was, you know, he went on to play at University of Pittsburgh. All those guys, when people in our hometown would talk about some of the greats that played at Johnstown High School, you know, those are the stories that you heard, and those are the guys that you wanted to be like. And you wanted your name in that cycle of conversation with all-time greats to come out of Johnstown. And I'm honored to be, you know, inducted into the Ring of Honor, but also to be thought of as one of the greats to come out of Johnstown.
You mentioned some of the other great names to come out of there. What about your specific memories, whether it be on the football field or elsewhere, that came out of being at Johnstown High?
Well, some of the best memories come from playing in the Point Stadium, which is it's in the center of the city, right as the two rivers meet, almost similar to the, you know, the three rivers in Pittsburgh, the old stadium there. But the Point Stadium, I have so many memories of, you know, my first catch, you know, in that stadium, some of the great highlights and some of the, you know, huge games, you know. It's weird because in Canada, you know, I'll go to a high school game and there's, you know, 400 or 500 people there, max, but, you know, playing in front of 10,000-15,000 fans in high school is something that happened on a regular occasion. So, again, you know, growing up, you know, going to high school games, as a youngster and seeing 10,000-15,000 people there, you know, it just, built my hunger to play in front of those crowds. And, you know, some of those were the best memories. I remember fondly one of my cousins, his name was Rob Vini. He was one of the fastest people I've ever seen in my life. You know, he catches a little hitch screen and he takes it, but he's like 50 yards away from scoring and he puts his finger up, you know, just letting everybody know that he knows that he's going to score. And then to be able to have the same experience with one of my best friends, Mario Hardison, doing the same thing. He was a little, you know, scat back receiver, and he did the same thing. Some of those memories weren't even my memories, but you know, to be there and experience them were some of the memories that I still cherish to this day.
And then, of course, we were lucky to be blessed with a lot of that here in British Columbia starting in 2001. And the rest is history, right? We've talked a lot about the Grey Cups, the records, and Grey Cup fan base, of course, a cool initiative that the CFL has put forward. And for fans listening, watching here, bclions.com, greycupfanbase.ca, you can etch your name onto it. When you first heard about this, G, and saw some of the cool photos of what the base looks like, is going to look like, what did you think about it?
I think it's so cool that, you know, that the league is come up with this idea to have, you know, a fan have their name etched on the Grey Cup. It's so cool. I think, you know, just the history behind the Grey Cup and all the great names that are on it as players, to be, you know, to have your name etched on it as a fan is something that's it's really cool. So I think it's a great initiative, and I think it's something that's going to last forever.
And more info again, greycupfanbase.ca, bclions.com. We've outlined a couple of the great fans that have bought into it. Can read and learn more about it there. We mentioned, you know, your time in Johnstown. You had a cup of coffee in the NFL, including with your hometown Steelers there in training camp, and you end up in Canada. A brief layover in Winnipeg before you found your CFL home. How long did it take you, G-Roy, to really learn and understand just how important and special the Grey Cup is to Canadian football history?
Well, you know, my first couple of years when I was in Winnipeg, it was kind of I was just kind of there trying to get out of there, trying to get back to the NFL. But when I really started to understand and appreciate how special the Grey Cup was when I got to BC, and you know, we had a chance to, you know, to go to the West Final. We lost, and then. To go to the Grey Cup in 2004 and we lost in the Grey Cup, I was like, man, this is something that at that point it was almost 100 years old, and to get your name etched on it, it's something that I didn't appreciate early in my career, but you know, once you get into the thick of it and see realize how much work you put into, to preparing for your season. But not only that, but to get to the championship game and win it was when it really started to to hit me how important it was. And when we did it in 2006, I was really excited to have my name on something that's going to last forever. As a youngster, you don't really appreciate it as much as you do once you get a little older and really see the significance of the Grey Cup, not only to your team, but to the league and to the whole country.
You know, it's funny, and apologies, Kelly Bates, if you're listening, we're going to talk about this again, because we had Kelly on our last episode of First and Now, and of course we had to ask him about breaking the thing ironically in Winnipeg. You won it in Winnipeg, where you had come over from a few years earlier. What are your recollections of that, the top coming off the Grey Cup?
You know, I think everybody was so excited, and like I said, we put in so much work to get there, and you know, after losing in 04 and then not even getting to the Grey Cup game in 05 after, you know, having such a great regular season. Once we won in 2006, I think it was just such a special moment. Everybody wanted to touch it, wanted to kiss it, wanted to hold it. And I think Kelly got a little too excited, reaching for it and popped the top off it. So it's just one of those stories that, again, will live and infamy for forever, knowing that the thing got broken in the locker room in 2006. So it was pretty cool.
Flash forward 5 years, and you get that elusive second one. We've talked about the 2011 story a lot, rightfully so. But winning it at home, How much more special did it make that time, G. Roy?
Well, I think, having the opportunity to win it at home was something that it was almost unfathomable, you know, especially the way we started the season that, you know, we, like you said, we talked about the 2011 season and quite often, but to start the way we started, not even really being in our permanent home, and you know, the season looking like it's kind of going down the drain, and you know, things I remember from that season are not only the losses, but you know, the fans and the whole community basically calling for Wally's head, calling for, you know, a top player's head, including me. You know, I was, you know, 35, 36 years old. So, you know, they're saying I was getting old and needed to be replaced. But for us to come back and win it and win it at home was something that was really, really special. You know, they gave the fans an opportunity to celebrate with us in our home stadium. And the celebration went on for a long time.
Yep. And you ever think about you know, again, I talked to Kelly and other players, including yourself, about this over the years. Do you ever think about the years that maybe you could have won but didn't? I mean, 2012 comes to mind. 2007, great team. I think 14-3-1. I mean, you're a competitor. We all know that. How much do you think about those years?
Oh, I think about those years quite often. Like I said, you know, 2004, 2005, 2004 losing the Grey Cup, 2005 having a great season and not winning where we could have had a chance to win at home. 2007, you know, losing the West Final. 2008, losing the West Final to Calgary. 2009 and 10 weren't the best years, but 2000 and then 2012. So in actuality, you know, we feel that we had a good enough team to have, you know, obviously more than two Grey Cup rings, but you know, we should have been closer to four or five. But that's just the way football goes, and you know, that's you know, that keeps, you know, those losses, you know, fuel me to this day. Making sure, you know, you don't leave any stone unturned, make sure you're finishing jobs, and making sure that you're prepared for any and every situation.
And it just goes to show you too, just because there's only nine teams in the league doesn't mean it's easy. Like, you hear some naysayers say, oh, you can win a championship in a nine-team league, but hey, ask the Calgary Stampeders how many more they would have liked to win in recent years too, right? It just goes to show you.
Well, yeah, there's so many teams and so many guys out there that played on very successful teams but never have won a Grey Cup championship. So, you know, any championship that you're shooting for is never going to be easy. And, you obviously have to have skill and ability, but you also have to have luck go your way sometimes. So it's never cut and dry where it's going to be super simple and super easy.
And of course, you did get one more before you retired in Saskatchewan. I have to talk about that one. We talked about winning it at home here at BC Place in 2011, but that also appeared to be quite the party there at Old Taylor Field in 2013. Can you just describe how crazy it was that Sunday afternoon in there?
Yeah, you know, it was amazing. I mean, obviously 06 and 11 were really, really special to me and mean a ton, but you know, for me, it was a little bit different because, you know, I wasn't I wasn't the main focus on the offensive side as I was in 06 and 11. I was basically a role player. But when I got my opportunities, I took full advantage of them. And, you know, to feel like, you know, you were exiled out of a place and to, you know, still have the opportunity to go and win a championship was something that was really special. I remember, you know, going through warmups and, you know, normally on game day you go through warmups and there's hardly anybody in the stadium. But coming out for warmups, the stadium was already packed. It was full of green. And it felt like it was a home game, but it felt like you know, there was an extra special electricity in the air, and you know, it showed once the first kickoff happened till the scoreboard read triple zeros. It was a complete domination throughout the 60 minutes, and again, it's a game that I'll never forget.
And as we kind of bring it full circle here on episode 35, First and Now, brought to you by IA Financial Group. Talking about these memories, G-Roy, how excited does it make you to move past all this ordeal we're going through with the pandemic and be back bigger and stronger in 2021?
Well, you know what, I'm really excited. I mean, it gives us an opportunity to, you know, to really examine our roster and really prepare to have the best team going forward for 2021. Obviously, you know, we're kind of disappointed that we don't have the opportunity to play this year. But again, you know, keeping it positive, we're just going to do our best to be prepared for 2021 to have the best team possible and move forward in that way.
You know, I've talked with head coach Rick Campbell quite a bit since he took over late last year. And I know he was itching to get out there and start phase two of his head coaching career, and he kept saying, look, I mean, the record was what it was in 2019, but with Mike at quarterback, with Brian, with Lamar's continued development to becoming one of the best Canadian receivers, combined with some of the guys brought in on defense, I mean, the expectation will be to contend right away as always, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you have a guy like Mike Riley and Brian Burnham and, you know, with some of the other guys that we brought over in free agency, we feel we have a veteran team and to, you know, for those guys to basically have a year off and no pounding on their bodies, they're going to come in 100% healthy and ready to go. No nagging injuries. So I think, you know, with the roster we have in place and some of the young guys that we've added through free agency and our efforts in getting on the road, I think we're gonna have a very competitive team and look to be, you know, to contend and win it all.
It's the redemption story, no doubt. Well said, sir. Episode 35 of First and Now. This is the official BC Lions podcast. To all those listening on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BCLions.com. Whatever your platform, we thank you for it. And we thank G. Roy Simon, as always, for taking the time. G, all the best here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know we'll come calling again. You can count on that.
For sure. I'll be ready. I'll be ready and prepared.
You'll be strapping it on and ready. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.